Amen. Well, in just a few minutes, Pastor Wayne is going to come out and talk about how to have a faith that activates the power of God. It's going to be awesome. But before he comes out, please take a look at this.
Ever feel like you're going the wrong way down a one-way street? Swimming upstream? Fighting an uphill battle? You're trying hard to walk the straight and narrow, to do what you know is right, to show people the way. But nobody seems to be paying attention. You start to wonder, is it worth it? Wouldn't it be easier to join the crowd? You get beat up, fed up, and finally, you give up. But when you're looking forward, you can't always see the impact of your actions, whether you know it or not. People are watching. People are listening, waiting on your next move. The road doesn't get any easier, but sometimes it helps to remember that you're not alone.
you take out your notes with me as we discuss a little bit about an ethereal word that's a bit slippery? It's a word called faith. And we hear faith a lot, don't we? The just shall live by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be taken up and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. I don't know about you, but there's still some mountains I need to move in my life. How many of you would agree? So there's a few in my life, yeah. So let's talk about what kind of faith that really is, and what does it mean to have that kind of faith? Now, I know that faith can be defined as knowing that God is there. I believe. But you know that faith is made up of two halves, and one is the half of belief, to believe God, that there is a God. And if you talk to some scientists, you're always going to have naysayers and cynical people, but you talk to scientists, the more that science starts to put things together, they are coming to a greater and greater conclusion that this is a divine thumbprint. This is the work of an architect, and some, it's not a mistake. In fact, one of the foremost scientists that are seeing that this is true is a man named Francis Collins. He's written a book called The Language of God. Now, he is the head of the Human Genome Project in the United States that takes a look at the DNA, the molecular structure of the body that puts it all together. In every cell, there is a hereditary code that tells your body what to do, how to formulate, how to grow, what to do in this situation and that. It's in a DNA, a helix of a DNA. And what some scientists have done in this Human Genome Project is they've taken this apart, as it were, and put it into these codes, sort of like cryptographic codes, and they've spelled out the DNA of our species. And when they've spelled it out, it took years and years, but they came to this great conclusion. They put it together. It's like this long sentence that this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. They've spelled it all out and finished it a few years ago, and it's over 3 billion letters. 3 billion. And this is copied, this one DNA, from mother to child, and that's what continues the makeup of this child and the forming of this child. And if one letter in this copy machine is missing, one letter of this 3 billion string of code is missing, that's what brings about a child that's Down syndrome or something. Just one. It's that amazingly complex and beautifully precise. And when the more scientists find out about these things and get empirical data of who we are and the makeup of the human body, the more they're convinced about God. Do you know that believing God, they have done a survey in America, and 83% of America said they believe God. 83%. That's the first half of faith. But if you get 50% on a test, what is that? Yeah, still F. So you've got to get the second half. The first half, we do pretty good. But if you think about it, believing God isn't that hard. Think about it this way. There is not one demon in the universe that doesn't believe. James chapter 2 says even the demons believe. You ask any demon, they'll tell you, yeah, God is true, He's real. They know, isn't that right? There's not a demon in the universe, not one demon in the universe that's an atheist. No, they ain't that dumb. Only humans. No, believing isn't that hard. But let me give you the second part of the equation. The first half of faith is believing. The second half is trusting. Trusting. Trusting God that what you believe, you will live. Trust. This is a part that's tough for a lot of us. You see, I get the first part down pretty well. I believe. But trusting? Have you ever believed without trusting? Yeah, we all do that. I had a friend of mine call me up while I was in Montana. He said, hey, we're going to go cliff rappelling. I said, cliff rappelling? Yeah. It's a sheer drop, 250, 350 feet down. And so he said, this instructor will teach you how to you know, ballet or whatever you call it, with these ropes and stuff. So I went up there and he said, each rope will hold 1,100 and some pounds each. You've got two, and they've got this netting like a diaper around you. No problem. It's hooked here. You got double safety here. All you got to do is lean out over the cliff. Do you believe? I said, I believe. Well, lean out. I ain't leaning out. I don't trust. I believe, but I don't trust. Isn't that right? You can believe and not trust. You go to Disneyland. My son says, Dad, Space Mountain, it's safe. All of these roller coasters run on I-beams, strong steel, never one accident. Do you believe? I believe. Get on it. No, not in your life. We can believe, but we don't trust. And we do that sometimes with the faith, and we wonder why our faith is of a quality that doesn't match what needs to get done. Now, maybe it's because of some bad past experiences of trusting. Stories told of this hotel that was on fire, and these three guys run to the window and say, help, help. One is a Japanese, one's a Pake, one is a Portuguese. They were, help, help, we're going to die. So pretty soon the fire engines come, and these guys run out with this trampoline, you know, that thing, and they run out and they say to the Japanese guy, jump, jump, is it safe? Believe us. This is safe. Believe us. So he jumps out. As soon as he comes, they pull it away. Poof. We don't like Japanese. No, I don't like Japanese either. Okay. So. The Pake guy, jump, jump. No, I saw what you do to Japanese. I not jump. No, jump. Believe us. Believe us. It's safe. Okay. So he jumps. Just as he comes, boom, they pull it out. Whap. We don't like Pakes either. No, I don't like Pake. So they go to the Portuguese. Jump, jump. And the Portuguese says, I saw what you did to the Japanese guy and the other guy, the Pake guy. No, I'm not going to jump. Jump, believe us. It's safe. Jump, we like Portuguese. No, I don't trust you. Believe us. Believe us. It's safe. No, the only way I'm going to jump, you put that down and back away. Don't call Portuguese dumb. But you see, sometimes our bad experiences of trust or lack of trust even carries on when we come to trustworthy people, as is a classic story of Blondin, who's a tightrope walker, 160 feet over the Niagara. He wheels a wheelbarrow full of sand across this without any problem at all, to the applause of a whole bunch of people gathered around. He said, do you believe I can do this again? We believe. Do you believe that I can pour the sand out and put a human being in it and roll them across? We believe. Oh, which one of you will volunteer? All of a sudden, see, they believe, but they don't trust. If you trust something, it's sort of like this. How many of you came in this morning and checked the bolts on the chair before you sat down? No, if you believe a chair is worthy, if you trust it, you will what? You'll sit in it. That's right. If you believe that a bank is worthy of your investment and you trust it, you will invest your money in it. If you believe that this is the best mechanic, then trust is you take your car to that person. You see, there is a follow-up, because the first half of faith is belief. But 83% of America does that. The trust part, it's down to about 5%. But God is going to speak to us about a whole faith. And when you get a whole faith like that, when there is not only belief but trust, the Lord says you can take even a mustard seed of that kind of faith and you'll move mountains. That's the kind of faith that God is speaking about. Now, Abraham was learning that. Abraham learned about believing God, but yet didn't quite trust him when push came to shove. You see, God came to Abraham one day and said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, I believe. In fact, he said it this way. Let's read at the top of your notes and you'll see he says exactly that. Let's read it. Go. Even so, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Would you circle believed God? However, even though he believed God, you're going to be the father of many nations. I believe. Woohoo! When he said, get in the wheelbarrow, something changed. You're going to be the father of many nations. He looked at Sarah, 90 years old, he's 100. Thought, oh yeah, yeah, right. So he, with Sarah's permission, goes into her young handmaiden, Hagar, and from her conceives and bears a son. His name is Ishmael. Listen, whenever you circumvent God's promise to you, whenever you believe, but then you do it your own way, it will always bring pain to your future. Bar none. Every time I've done an end run on God, every time I've circumvented God's ways, because I figured I could bring it about my own way, it's imparted, it's inserted pain into my future. Ishmael becomes a father of the Arab nation, and from then on, Israel will always be fighting the descendants of Ishmael. And if you think about it, even after Isaac is born, Isaac and Ishmael are brothers, half-brothers, but they're brothers. And the rest of their lives, they're enemies. Even today, they fight their own brothers over real estate. And if you think about it even a little bit more, you know, up where Iran is in Iraq, where all the war is going on, that's where Abraham, who's called the father of our faith, originates from. Did you know that he was an Iranian or Iraqi? That's Abraham. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. That's where Iraq is today. Went to Haran, where his father dies, but Jacob goes up and gets a wife from there. Isaac goes up there and gets his wife, Rebekah. That's where Iraq is. That's where Syria is, a tip of Syria. So if you think about it, they're all fighting their own family. It is a massive family feud over inheritance rights and real estate. And I think about that, and I think, you know, where did it all begin? When someone believed God, but when it came to trusting him, he didn't have it down. So God had to show up to Abraham a second time. He says, Abraham, let me help you get this right. And let's read the second verse. Would you read it with me? Go. I will bless Sarah, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You see, Abraham believed God. You're going to be the father of many nations. Yoo-hoo, I believe. Oh, by the way, Sarah is going to have a baby and you guys are changing diapers. See, he believed, but he couldn't trust. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. See, a lot of times we trust God only insofar as we understand him. And if you trust God only insofar as you understand him, then your God will be only as big as your mind. And for many of us, we're in trouble. Isn't that true? But if you only trust God as far as you understand him, then you make God the size of your understanding. Our God is far beyond that. The Bible says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above yours. I encompass the universe. I'm far beyond your comprehension. And so that's why the Lord says he'll give us a peace that will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, and a peace that surpasses our what? Understanding. That's where trust comes in. So he came back to Abraham and said, Abraham, you got to trust my ways. You understand, you believe me, but you've got to trust the ways that I bring this across. So when we, in order to get a full or a whole faith, would you write down in number one, you've got to trust his ways. Trust in his ways. Because his ways are true. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. I believe. By the way, Sarah is really old, but she's going to have a kid. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, when it comes to cooperating with God, we shy back. I'm going to prosper you. Praise the Lord, I believe. So start tithing. I will bless you academically. So you'll be one of the top of your class at the university. I believe. So stay home and study. Isn't that right? We do that all the time. We believe, but we can't cooperate or trust. That's the second half of faith. We drop right there. It's like the guy said, God, You said that you would help my family. We're poor. Our kids are hurting. We don't have any food. Help me win the lottery. Lord, you said you would answer my prayer. Wait, nothing. Second prayer. God, come on. You said you would help us. Help me win the lottery. God, come on. Nothing after waiting. Third prayer. Lord, come on. You said you would answer prayer. God, help me win the lottery. My family is hurting. We're going to die. Lord, help me win the lottery. All of a sudden, there's a boom. And he says, hey, meet me halfway. At least buy a ticket. We're like that, aren't we? Come on, God. But when it comes to us trusting him by cooperating a little bit, we don't want to get in the wheelbarrow. We believe. But I ain't getting in that wheelbarrow. And the Lord is saying, there's two halves to this called faith. One is believe. 83% of America do that, and 100% of the demons do that. Trust. That's what we need to talk about. Because it's a combination of those two that allows us to become a people of a whole faith. Trust his ways. Let's read what it says here in Hosea. Go. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. The ways of the Lord are... Yeah, even though it doesn't feel right at first. And a lot of times you learn will not feel right at first. Think about it. Golfing, there's a certain kind of swing that you have to swing with. And it doesn't feel right at first. But you keep it up. Even if you don't feel like it, you stay with that instruction. Because what that instructor said is right. Doesn't feel right. Doesn't matter. Just do it. Same with tennis or racquetball or baseball or playing piano. The scales that you do and even the way that your fingers move when you're doing scales. Everything has a certain posture and position. Doesn't feel right at first, but you stay with it and you trust. How often God would say, Wayne, I need you to change your attitude to what I'm saying. Now, and I've got to be willing to trust, even though it doesn't feel right. And everything in me is fighting against that. I don't want to feel like, I don't want to act like that. Because I don't feel like it. Listen, there's going to come a day, and this is one of the most important decisions you'll make in your Christian walk. There's going to come a day when you've got to decide, either you're going to change who you are to match the Word, or I'm going to change the Word to match the way I live. You have to make that decision. You will either change your life, your attitude, even though you don't want to, it doesn't feel good, to match what God is saying, which is true, or sort of massage and retrofit God's word to match the way I want to live. It's up to you. But sooner or later, we will make that decision. And my prayer is that you'll make it well to say, Lord, change my life to match your word. Then he'll change you from glory to glory. Why would you write in that bullet? Because his word is worthy of our trust. His word is worthy of our trust. The greatest commendation given in the whole New Testament was given to someone who added trust to belief. It was a centurion that came to Jesus and said, Lord, my servant is sick at home, and would you come and heal him? And the Lord, being so gracious, said, I'll go and heal him. Whoa, and the centurion said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. If you just speak the word, that'll be good enough. My servant will be healed. And the Lord said, you're kidding. You believe the word that? Oh, yeah. You just speak the word. I know. It's done. I trust. Because I, too, am a man under authority, he said. I say to one, go. He's gone. I say to another, come. He's there. And your authority is so much more. And the Lord stops everyone and says, did you just hear that? Let's read what Jesus said in response to that. Go. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. You know what he's saying? He's saying because of this, he trusted God's word and he said, you said, heal? thank you. And he turns and starts walking. Now, if his house is 6 miles away, it'll be an hour or more before he will arrive home. He doesn't know his servant is healed until he gets home. But as soon as Jesus said, he's healed, thank you, and he is walking, not with empirical evidence of healing, but he's walking because he is walking in trust. He is walking by trusting God. He hasn't seen it conclusively, but I trust God. And the Lord says, not only does he believe, he is walking by trusting God. And you see those two halves? That's the kind of faith that you take just a mustard seed of that. That's what it means. It's not talking about a mustard seed. He's saying you can take just a little bit of that kind of faith, you will move mountains. Because most people have the first half down real good. We don't have the second half down at all. Because we believe, but we don't put our faith in that. But God says, he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This happened to a single mom recently, and I've asked her permission to use this illustration without names, but just recently, and I may not have the story exactly right, but let me give you the gist of it. She was saying goodbye to her son. Being a single mom, she doesn't have oodles of income coming in, and she has to parcel it out to her children, and her son was going off to college. And she had written her tithe check and was in her purse and $250 and still there in her checkbook. But any mom would want to give something to her child as he goes off to college because she has to, you know, pay for college plus everything else and just to give him some extra money. And so she was about to cross off her tithe check and use that amount of money and give it to him instead. And said, no, 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 mom, no, 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 leave it, leave it. Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I maybe catch up later. No, no, just leave it. I'm fine. I'm fine. So she just about did it, and she said, okay, I'll trust. And she gave her boy a big hug, trusting that God would take care of the situation. Well, as she went home, she gets a call on her cell phone. And her son says, hey, mom, guess what? What? Well, they canceled our flight. They're going to put us on another. No big deal. And just to help us out, to say thank you, they gave every one of us a $300 voucher. So now I get to school, and the next time I come home, you don't have to pay anything. It's already paid. Is God good or what? Huh? He rewards those who put their trust in him. Not only was it a cool miracle that God said, I will provide when you not just believe in me, but trust in me. Just think what it did to the faith of that young man. It exponentially multiplied his faith to be someone that trusts God. So we see that God is saying that there's two halves to faith. And one is to believe. And the other is to trust. But it's not always easy. Because it doesn't always feel right. But would you write down a number two? Here's a principle that has saved me from so much pain. And that is this. Would you write down, even though it doesn't feel right sometimes and you wrestle against it, go by what you know, not by what you feel. Go by what you know, not by how you feel. Because there's so many times what God says, I don't feel like doing it. How many of you would agree with me? Raise your hand. Be honest. How many of you? Yeah, the rest of you are lying. Because there's times God says to do something. I know it's right, but I don't want to do it. So that's where I have to come to that decision. Am I going to match my life to his word, or am I going to retrofit his word to match me? It is a huge life and future determining decision, that one question. And if you will make that decision to say, you know, there's going to be times everything in me is going to fight against it, but I am going to trust him. Watch what he does. Abraham learned that. As you know, he actually did later after God spoke to him about it through Sarah. Well, Sarah gives birth to a son. His name is Isaac. And God tests the faith and the trust of Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. What? That's right. I want you to sacrifice your son. And he's going to test him. Now, after he says this, Let's see what happens to Abraham. Let's read this next scripture and see his response, whether he or not he just believes God or is he now trusting him. Let's read it. Go. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took Isaac his son and went to the place which God had told him. He rose when? Early in the morning and said, let's go. Well, as you know, God intervened and took care of it. But take a look at Abraham. He not only believed, he now trusts. And that's why Abraham is called the father of our faith, because he put the two halves together. And God is saying, that's what makes a whole faith. Now, I don't know about you. If God said, Wayne, sacrifice your son. Man, that would be pretty. Would that be tough for you? Yeah, sacrifice your son. Now, I got to admit, there's times I would have said, absolutely. Oh, man, I've been waiting for you to say this. But normally, no, we wouldn't want to do that. And so he says, Abraham, sacrifice your son. And the next morning, he saddles a donkey. Come on, kid. And he starts off. Well, you know that God was simply testing him. And he intervenes and calls him the father of our faith. Absolutely wonderful. Because you see, God knows what's best. And God knows that the kind of faith that will move mountains in your life and mine this year is a whole faith, not a half faith. How long I operated on half faith. I believe God. I didn't trust him. I'd do it my way. I take his promise and I wouldn't trust him. I'd do it the way I think it should be done. And when all these Ishmaels would come out and problems would come up, I said, God, come on, didn't you promise? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you believe, but you didn't trust. You got to trust my ways, because the way I tell you to do it is the way it needs to be done. You get those two halves together, you can take just a little bit of that and it'll move mountains. Let's read what the scripture says, the next one here out of Proverbs 16. Go. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Yeah, even when you don't feel right about it. Oh, there's times. You know, I know what God's word says about my wife. Wayne, love your wife as Christ loves the church. In other words, just like I'm loving her, you love her. But there's times I don't want to love her that way. Because my emotions are... There was a time when Anna and I weren't doing good. Wasn't my fault. And she... And now, you this... I'm going to open it up a little bit here. And you just have to kind of bear with me. But I was kind of upset. And she wasn't doing some things that I think she thought she should do. And the Lord said, you speak words of love to her. And this is what I said to God. When she deserves it, I'll let her know. Yeah. Have you ever been reprimanded by God? Oh, baby, you don't want to be. It was like the Lord cold cocked me, just boom, and said, you knock it off. I didn't say when you felt like it to give her words of love. I said, you love her like I love the church. And so whether you think she deserves it or not, you speak words. As Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, love your wife. Christ loved the church. Washing her with water of the word. In other words, if you just wait for her to change and then you let her know, it's too late. And I'm just going to speak to the husbands for a little bit. God is saying your words have the power of God that will wash her. So as you speak words of beauty, whether you think that or not, you speak as God would say, and those words actually make her beautiful. As you speak words of love, it causes her to become someone lovely. If she became that without you or in spite of you, he don't need you. But as we speak words, not how we feel, but as God's word says. Again, remember, you're going to either match your life to his word or you're going to change his word to match you. It'll make a world of difference in your future. Because here's God's word. His word never changes. Our emotions change all the time. And so our emotions are like this. But as we speak what God is saying, I don't feel like it. Just speak it. Because you're trusting that his word is trustworthy. So you believe it. Yeah, I believe it, but I don't want to say it. No, you say it because that's now called belief and trust. And when that happens, his resources are released to change the situation. Or in other words, move mountains. Because you've got belief and trust. Because here's your emotions, you see. But if I take my performance and match it just with my emotions. So when I feel holy, I'll act holy. And when I don't feel it, I'm going to just do like I want to do. Well, when that happens, you're like this. You take your actions and your feelings, and you're like this all the time. Then you become what we call a Christian yo-yo. And that's real close to being a Christian dodo. Real close. But if we say, no, God's word says it, and I'm going to say it. And even though you don't feel like it, you speak what God's word says. He says, now you're understanding belief and trust. And you can take a pinch of that, and with it, I'll move mountains. But for most part, we've got the belief down. We don't have the trust. You say, Wayne, what about times when it's like really, really dark? There's going to be times in your life when your emotions drop out. You won't feel like being married. You won't feel like worshiping God. You won't feel like serving God. Your emotions are far south. It's really dark. Do I bail out at that time? Mm-mm. Would you write down a number 3? When it's dark, trust the Lord. When it's dark, because there are going to be times it'll get really dark. But let's read what he says in Proverbs 3:5. Go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own. Yeah, see, if you do, then God will be just as big as your understanding. And if your understanding is small, you have a really small God. But God has to be a whole lot bigger than the stuff I'm going through. He's a God that embraces the universe. I can trust him. I just don't believe in him. I trust him. And what God's word says, even though my humanness says, no, I don't want to say that. Tough. I say it anyway. And I match my words. I've got to do that because I've got to make the decision. Either I'm going to match the words to the way I feel, or I'm going to match the way I feel to his word. That's a major decision you will make in this life that'll transform and change, for good or bad, your future. And when it's dark, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let's read Psalm 56:11. And this next verse you're about to read is what you will find stamped on every coin in the United States of America. It came from Psalm 56:11, in God we trust. And it was in a time of war. And when there's all kinds of countries coming against us, they stamp that out of Psalm 56:11, in God we trust. But the whole of it is this. Let's read it. Go. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? It was a statement of stalwart trust in God. Therefore, it brings the protection of providence. And it's been abbreviated onto our coins, in God we trust, but it actually comes from Psalm 56:11. In God we trust. I shall not be afraid. What can other countries do when we put our, what in God? Our, yeah. See, we believe real well, but we got to look back at our coins, and it doesn't say, in God we believe. No, that's kind of like understood. Even demons believe. But when it says, in God we trust, that's the second half of faith that brings a whole faith. With it, we can move mountains. In God we put our trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do? And when you have that kind of trust and you add it to belief, we can say this of Psalm 125. Let's read this together. Go. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides. You will become a stalwart man or woman of faith because you understand both sides of faith. Let me finish this with a little quote by Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom, part of the ten Boom family, was a family that was helping Jews escape the Nazi persecution. And when the Nazis found that this family was aiding the escaping Jews, they were persecuted. The father and mother were killed. And her sister, Corrie ten Boom, and her were put in a concentration camp. Her sister died of malnutrition and disease in that concentration camp. And many people who had a faith in God were bailing out, saying, it's too dark. And if God loved us, why would he let us be in this camp to die like this, like dogs? And Corrie kept her faith, and she survived that camp, and it's written about in her autobiography, The Hiding Place, which was later made into a motion picture. And when she heard people say that, this is it. If God loves us, why should we put our trust in Him? Because look at the squalid conditions under which we live. And Corey said something that has been impaled on my heart when I read that. And it's indelibly etched, and I don't think I'll ever forget it. And she said this to those that had that reasoning. She said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, do you throw away your ticket? Do you jump off the train? No, she said, you trust the engineer. You trust the engineer. And there's going to be times in your life and mine when you're going to go through some pretty dark tunnels and you can't see the beginning or the end. It's just dark. Do you throw away your ticket? Do you jump off the train? You trust the engineer. And when you do, even a little bit of that will give you a whole faith, and it'll be enough to move mountains. That's the kind of faith that the Lord commends with the highest commendation. This year, let's be a people who don't just believe, but we what? Trust the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. I'd like to pray for you, and then we'll conclude and we'll sing our final song, and we'll make this a wonderful, wonderful week. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, thank you so much for helping us to be a people of faith. Not a fragile faith, half a faith, but a faith that's combined with trust, where we believe and we trust. That gives us a whole faith. That's the kind of faith. There's a pinch of that can remove mountains. Oh, God, somehow teach us that. Help us to understand that. That receives the highest commendations of heaven. And Lord, we know we need to trust you more. And we want to do that even today. If you're here and you've never opened your heart to trust in Christ, you may believe in God. But even the demons do that. It's that trust factor where you say, I believe, therefore, I am going to put my life in His hands. I will trust the engineer, the architect, the designer of my life to walk in His ways. Even when I feel like I'd like to do it another way or circumvent His ways, I've got one life to live on this earth. I'm going to do it the Bible way. Because if I want Bible blessings, I've got to do it the Bible way. And His word is trustworthy. So I trust Him with all my heart. And that begins by you saying yes to His invitation to not just believe Him, but follow Him. And that's what it means to be born again and to become a disciple, to say, yes, Lord, I believe you and trust you. That's when the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. Nope, not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Today, God invites you. If you've never received Him as Lord and Savior, He invites you to say yes to Him, to put a trust to your belief. And that faith will enter you, open the door to the kingdom of heaven. Forgiveness is available at that point. Discipleship is in a whole new eternity. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to do that even now. And if you say, Wayne, that's me, God knows I need forgiveness. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now and say, yep, that's me. Okay, yeah, the Lord sees, yep, you too. Yeah, okay, in the back, yeah. You're just saying, yes, Jesus, I need forgiveness and I need to be born again. Okay, yeah, the Lord sees that. Okay, all right, anyone else? You say, you know, I need to make that decision. Okay, yep, Jesus sees those hands and your heart, you too, yeah. The Lord is calling you right now. You say, I don't want to miss this because I believe Him, but I need to trust Him. And when God sees that, He says, now, that's the kind of faith that that gets the attention of heaven. Anyone else? Just want to raise your hand and say, I want to receive Christ. Okay, good, good. All right. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time, please stop outside and get a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. It's free for the asking. Just receive one of those and it'll help you in your first few steps with Christ. Now, you might be a Christian and you say, you know, Wayne, I believe God, but I don't trust Him too much. And that's like bad. God, this year, would you give me the strength to be a person that just doesn't believe you, but learns how to trust you? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, God, that's me. That's me, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Repeat this after me. And especially for those of you that have said yes to Jesus for the first time, I'll give you the words. You got to add the heart. But let's converse with our God now. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for me that I might have life everlasting. I believe you. I trust you. And so now I say this, so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time. Congratulations.
Let's sing together.
Whom have I in heaven but you?
Whom have I in heaven?
There is nothing on earth I desire besides you.
My heart and my strength.
My heart and my strength.
So many times.
Many times they fail.
But there is one truth.
That always will prevail.